Hey, before we do anything, happy 5th birthday, Elliot. Shout out to Elliot, my niece.
Yeah.
Holy shit, happy birthday, Elliot. I didn't realize that she was so old.
She's 5 now. She's 5 now, dude.
The big 5.
How old was she when I hung out with her that time?
I think you met her, I want to say, as a 2-year-old, maybe a 3-year-old.
Okay.
Now I think she got to shark level in swimming classes. She's like a badass.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's so cool. Hi, Elliot.
Go, Elliot. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Her little brother Miles is going to turn 3 in February, so I guess he's firmly 2.5. So shout out to you too, buddy.
Hey.
Yeah, Miles. Yeah. Almost 3.
What'd you get her?
I got her, I think I'm going to do this new, when she turned 3, I got her a pair of shoes, 2 pairs of shoes, rather, and she really seemed to like them. And, you know, kids, they grow out of their shoes. And I asked her if she needed another pair of shoes. We were on FaceTime. And she goes, like, she's very, very, like, a nice, sweet girl. And she's not, she doesn't ask for anything. And she goes, yeah, like, I'm going to kindergarten and they have, like, shoe requirements for stuff. And I'm like, all right. So, I apparently there's shoe requirements, guys. Velcro is preferred to laces.
Like, closed-toed or?
Yep, closed-toed for sure. Something you can get in and out of quickly, something that doesn't light up in the back. So they're really taking away some of the fun from kindergartners.
No lights. What? Why?
I assume Heelys are like way out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't even know if kindergartners are allowed to use Heelys. That seems like a danger. Those children would be falling everywhere.
I feel like if you start them young on this, they're probably going to be way better than adults that try and learn.
That's true.
What if we're the first 3 people to discover the niche sport that will make a comeback of rollerblading, and we just like invest all in on these children and go against all the specializing data? But hang on, listen.
Hey, hang on one second. Mike.
Yes.
Did you catch that weird pronunciation too, or was that just me?
No. What was it?
Niche.
Niche.
Is it niche?
Niche?
Yeah, I think it's niche.
Niche. I think it's niche.
Yeah. Niche just sounds like I'm mispronouncing niece, and since it's my niece's birthday, I'm going to make it niche. Anyway, listen.
Okay.
So then I asked her if she wanted another pair of shoes. She said yes, and then I asked her what color she would like, and she said, may I suggest pink? I'm like, yeah, you may. And so I got her a pair of Nike Revolution 4s in size 11C in all pink for children. And I got really lucky because they were out of stock until 2 days ago because Canada, you know. And luckily, they got those shoes back in. And so they will be arriving. Sorry, Elliot, they're a little late, but they'll be on your toes soon. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say to start my part.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything you want to say to her? Jesus.
Oh, to her? I mean, hey, I don't know if she remembers me.
It's a kid's birthday.
We went to that playground. It was fun.
What advice do you have for a 5-year-old, Josh?
Oh, okay. Let's see. So start in kindergarten.
It's big time.
Yeah. Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Okay.
Drugs? Don't talk to her about drugs yet. She's a kindergarten.
I'm saying don't do them. Don't do them.
She's going to ask what them are.
What are drugs? Yeah. And then you'll have to tell her what drugs are. And then she'll be like, that sounds pretty fun.
That's true. Okay.
Hmm. Stay in school. Good start.
Yeah, stay in school.
She likes school. She likes learning. Mike, do you have any advice?
For a 5-year-old.
Do your homework.
I would say don't do your homework. Homework's bullshit.
What? Why would you tell her that?
Because homework sucks. I'm the cool uncle's friend. And I'm the no homework guy. So I'll cover the no homework part of her adolescence.
Tappan, do you really want Mike in her life? He said, drugs sound really fun, and don't do your homework.
Well, you know,
yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Those are two pretty, like, regular symptoms of a cool kid, right? I mean, I don't want her. Yeah, you're right. I'd rather she be safe and smart and happy. Would I? Being cool, it's a fun way to live in kindergarten. I remember the cool kids. I remember them. They were really happy. No. I want, you know what I want? I want for her to go ahead and do whatever she would like to do. I'm there, and she's got 2 really terrible advice-giving friends of her cool uncle there as well. So happy birthday to you, Elliot.
I resent that. Don't do drugs is not a terrible advice for a 5-year-old.
It's not a terrible advice for a 5-year-old. You heard it here, folks. And he's going to fucking correct me on my pronunciation.
You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Tap and Johnny, Mike Bogart, and me, Josh Harrison.
And me, Josh Harrison.
You're Mike.
I'm doing a parrot thing. That was a parrot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike, you want a cracker?
No. Oh, no, I hate parrots.
Did you just call him Mikey?
I didn't like that.
Why do you always do that? You did that with another Mike we knew, too.
I don't know. It's a term of enmikement.
It's more of a diminutive. Hey, Mikey, we'll pat you on the head, little guy.
Yeah.
What do you think? Mm-hmm. I'm up here.
He's up here, Josh.
So as I sent to you guys earlier, Endgame has surpassed Avatar in terms of overall movie sales.
I saw that when you sent it.
Yeah. That is how text messages usually work.
Yeah, so I'm aware.
Yeah.
So Josh was your source on that.
Josh was my, what is that called? A secondary source.
I was your courier of information, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A paper boy, if you will.
A paper boy. I like that.
Yeah. That's me. I was a paper boy when I was young.
Unsurprising. That's fun.
I can see that. I can see
that. Wait, what's your paper boy story? I also have one.
So my dad would help me on my paper route when it was like exceptionally cold or something. We had a station wagon at the time, so we would just load up the papers in the back of the car, and I would sit in the back of the station wagon with the like trunk lift gate open, and he would just kind of drive, and I would like jump out of a moving car and throw the paper out and jump back in. It was a lot of fun.
Dude, what a beautiful memory. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard between father and son.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Holy shit. Wow.
So, Endgame.
Endgame.
Like, I was thinking about it. I didn't really think about how monumental an achievement it was, not for Endgame, but for Avatar. Because Endgame is, like, built on this franchise that had just been steamrolling for the past decade, and there are all of these different fan bases, and it's pretty much, hey, if you like any of these characters, then you need to go see this movie. Plus, part one that had a really big cliffhanger to it, and you know, this kind of built-in audience that liked Marvel characters before they even became movies. So it's just, it's not surprising that this is now the biggest movie of all time.
Sure. It's logical. It follows.
Right. And it just got me thinking about how incredible it is that Avatar just came out of nowhere. I know there was a ton of hype for it and everything, but it is the first movie in a new intellectual property that, I mean, it's James Cameron, who, you know, is known for making huge movies, but this is also kind of a departure from what he had been doing pretty recently to that. Like, he did Titanic. It's not like the people that saw Titanic are like, fuck yeah, Avatar, I'm going to that now.
Well, but apparently it was. They all saw it, right? Like, Titanic was number one before Avatar was number one.
I know. So it just kind of got me thinking, like, it was really impressive that this ended up breaking all of these records that had held for so many years until now, that none of the previous Avengers movies could beat it. Or, you know, like when Star Wars came back, that couldn't beat it. These things that had these fan bases that had just grown and grown over many decades still couldn't beat it.
Yeah.
And this finally did. So instead of Endgame, come up with a brand new movie concept that you think could take the crown of best box office numbers ever.
Ooh, fascinating. I was going to say Endgame directed by James Cameron. That was going to be my idea, because maybe that would do it.
So what would change about the movie then in that case? Or maybe we shouldn't talk about that. Mike, have you seen Endgame yet?
No, I still have to see it.
Well, I was just going to say that apparently just the existence of James Cameron is worth billions of dollars, right? Maybe he gets private donations. Maybe one guy just like gave him $1 billion, and not that many of us saw Avatar. Remember, everybody was always asking why it wasn't in the zeitgeist or why no one remembered anything.
Because
maybe that many. I'm kidding. There's not that big of a conspiracy, but there could have been.
What? So James Cameron is the key to selling the most movie tickets. What if we make a movie about James Cameron, being John Malkovich style?
So being James Cameron.
Being James Cameron.
Should it also be directed by James Cameron himself?
It's directed by James Cameron Cameron, who is James Cameron's...
That's such a good Hollywood name, James Cameron Cameron.
Yeah. That's unrelated. Just some guy named James Cameron Cameron. I guess it should be directed by the real James Cameron, too. I'm already lost in the layers.
Anyway, here's my idea. What if we somehow mixed going to the movies with the idea of the lottery? So, like, whatever a regular movie ticket is, we just charge one more dollar for a lottery ticket, and then we say on opening weekend, someone's going to win the lottery as long as you see the movie in theaters. And then, like, we'll maximize every place it can play and everything it'll go, and then whoever wins the lottery will pay it out. And that's going to be, like, a massive, massive winning. I think that would break box office records. And I think when people are in the chairs, we can show anything, like anything. It can honestly just be a home recording of the three of us trying to rap. Like, people would go to this because the potential is massive. It's nuts. And at the very least, you're part of the biggest social experiment of all time in terms of lotteries and movies.
Okay. So I like that idea.
I also like that idea.
Thanks, guys.
But I think that the people deserve a taste of that rap.
Oh my god, you actually want to you want to do a trailer for the lottery movie?
Yes.
All right, I'll lay down the beat because you guys are obviously
god
the words.
That's what I was going to do.
Well, that's you know, part of winning these box office battles is getting to the idea first. So, okay, I'll do the beat and you guys okay. I don't know who wants to go first. I don't know if someone wants to be on the ones and threes. You know, it's up to you.
What does that mean?
You know, the first and the third. Either the beat or the verse, whichever you'd prefer. All right.
Okay. Sure.
Let's see. What kind of beat do you guys want?
A good one.
Uh-huh. Mike?
I say I want a medium beat.
You want a medium beat. So like
I would like a medium beat. Yeah.
Do you want it to be like funky or do you want it to be like or do you want it to
not
be like
jazz?
Wow, like
that's
that kind
not
of
really
instrument range. I'm asking of range spectrums.
Okay, I would like more on the.
Give me something to imitate.
Nas.
Oh my
Illmatic.
God! I don't know. Illmatic. I don't know any of the Illmatic beats by heart. I could if you could like. Oh, now I feel terrible that I don't know any of the Illmatic beats by heart. But
New York State of Mind, do that one.
I don't know the beat to that by heart.
Me neither. I'm still looking up rhymes for lottery.
Oh, Jesus.
Josh, do you have anything about pottery?
Okay, hang on.
Boom, boom, psh, boom, boom, psh, boom, boom, psh, boom, psh, boom, psh, boom, psh, boom.
Yo, turn me up my headphones.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, I got the control. Hang on. Okay. That's good. Yo,
going to the movie.
That worked as beautifully as I could have ever dreamed. So that's what you'll get if you come to the lottery movie.
Biggest grossing movie of all time.
And if you want to try to decipher all the words that those guys crammed into that 1 second, I'm sure that's part of the charm. It's got rewatchability. You can come back and try to figure out the message. And you know, more you come back, the more lottery tickets you have.
What's the tagline?
What's the name?
Oh, I thought it was the lottery.
Well, we had nothing to do with the lottery in the rap, you noticed.
Right.
So like
we were getting there.
Yeah, our tagline can be about the lottery and that can draw people in, but right now the movie is titled like Missing Words Until They're Not.
Yeah.
Sounds like a drama. You guys want to try another beat? Cuz it sounded like Mike, you had lottery raps. I'm going to try another beat. Try it. Here we go. Ready? Boom boom psh boom. Ptsh, boom boom psh boom. Ptsh. Boom boom,
yo,
psh, da, boom.
Yo.
Ptsh, boom, yo, boom, psh, da, boom, ptsh, boom, boom,
psh, my name is Josh, and I'm here to
boom,
say,
psh, da, boom, ptsh, boom, boom, this is fucking ridiculous. Boom, boom, psh, da, boom, ptsh,
my
boom,
name
boom,
is Josh, psh, and I'm here to psh, say boom, that Mike boom, has psh, brought psh, a hunk of clay. He's gonna boom, touch it psh, and wield it and move it around psh, until it's some kind of nice pottery sound. Rhyme it with lottery, dude.
boom, boom, making the pottery, playing the lottery. Boom, boom, my grandma's old, so she walks real tottery. That's all I got. Back to you.
That's good enough. That's a good movie. I think we just air that for a few minutes. Okay. And you know what? The other beauty about this, you guys are accidentally happening upon a lot of revenue-enhancing schemes. This movie's going to be so short that we're going to have unbelievable turnover in the audiences. We're going to be able to show this 20 times a screen in a day.
That's true, yeah. Get a lot of eyeballs on this.
I honestly think I found a way to beat all these movies. It's probably really illegal to do this, but I think it would really work.
I mean, it's like the whole thing about technology is always ahead of the legal system. So if we make this some sort of high-tech lottery where it's like a, I don't know, a lottery on your phone or something like that, there are no laws against that right now, probably. So people could just like do that, and then we'd get sued 2 years down the road or whatever. But by that point, we're already the number one spot on box office mojo.
Barbie.
The doll?
Are you familiar? Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Barbie, right?
Yep.
My mom recently told me a story about her youth. Apparently, back in the day, Barbie was like the bougie one.
Oh.
And she was cool because she had all the accessories. My mom did not have a Barbie. My mom had a Tammy.
Okay. Did she not have accessories?
Tammy didn't have all the...
No. Wait. Hang on. There's a lot that Tammy's missing, I think. But just like, why? If you're going to name a competitor to Barbie, why Tammy?
Was it a competitor or was it like made by...
Was it a competitor? It was a one-named female doll that came out exactly at the same time as Barbie.
Well, that's what I'm asking, though. Was it like Barbie's best friend Tammy or was it, you know, like, I don't know, who else had... Galoob? Was Galoob a toy company back in the day?
What's Galoob?
I don't know.
Did you make that up?
No. Louis Galoob Toys was a toy company headquartered in South San Francisco, California. They became defunct in 1998.
What were their main toys?
So
they can't sponsor us? What are their names? Gloob?
Galoob. G-A-L-O-O-B. So they had a bunch of franchises that were licensed to them. They had the A-Team.
Oh, wow.
They had Dino Saucers. They made Game Genie, if you remember that. Ghostbusters, The Last Starfighter, Micro Machines were Galoob.
Okay, that's fine. I've got a good sense of who Galoob is, but continue.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about Galoob today.
Yeah.
Barbie was cool because Barbie had all the stuff. Barbie had a partner, Ken.
Right.
Barbie had a car, several houses. She had a different job every time. Mm-hmm. Tammy was just kind of straight up Tammy.
Where did she work?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if she had a job.
Like, what's going on with Tammy? Give me Tammy's backstory.
I'm going to Google Tammy doll right now. She looks like she's got sort of that, she's got rosy cheeks.
Okay, she looks, that's nice.
She's got a much bigger head than Barbie. She's got a very big
Wait,
the company that made her is the Ideal Toy Company. That's the name of the company.
That's a great name.
Why am I not looking this up? I just realized now that we record in separate places, I have a computer of my very own. Not one that you shield me from, Mike.
So I still haven't seen a photo. I'm just on the Wikipedia page. But advertised as the doll you love to dress... She was portrayed as a young American teenager, more girl next door than the cosmopolitan image of Mattel's Barbie.
Mm.
Or American characters Tressie. There's a third one.
Tressie?
Tressie.
Is Tressie short for something?
No, T-R-E-S-S-Y is an American fashion doll with a feature to adjust the length of its hair. Tressie was first produced by the American Character Doll Company and later by Ideal Toy Company. This keeps coming back.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Eternal return.
I found a whole bunch of pictures of Tammy. She seems totally well accessorized, although I will say it is an abnormally sized head for her body, and her forehead is also quite prominent amongst this situation.
I know. My incentive for you is basically, instead of the way Tammy is now, let's make Tammy cool. Let's make Tammy better than Barbie.
Okay.
Oh, that's fun. Well, first and foremost,
let's rehab Tammy's image. Yeah.
there's not, I gotta say, like, from huge head down, she seems pretty well, like, outfitted and fashionable and everything. Are you guys seeing the same pictures
I
am?
She's got some cool outfits. She looks really sort of 1950s chic.
More reasonably proportioned than old Barbie was.
Yeah, I think as far as, like, the person, we're fine with Tammy. Where Barbie wins is her possessions. We got to give Tammy some shit. Uh-huh. Like, she needs stuff. She needs other people to, like, build her world out. Josh, you pride yourself on being a world builder. You are always telling girls that at bars. So why don't you build Tammy's world?
Okay. What do children love? They love pets in addition to their dolls. So what if instead of providing accessories for Tammy, we make accessories for small pets? So you can get a mouse for Tammy that, like, I don't know, it makes it look like a dog or something. You get a little collar for your mouse and it makes it look like a dog collar. So now she can have like a German Shepherd mouse dog living in her little house. And the house is also now a pet cage, obviously.
What?
She lives in a cage now?
Mike, how scrunched up is your face? My face has never been this scrunched. I feel like my left eye is going to just stop.
No, I mean...
A mouse? This is exactly how Tammy got invented. People like you, Josh. We got to go to the customer. We need Elliot.
What do kids like?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you... Mike, really, right? What do kids like? Mice dogs. What? What the fuck?
I'm just saying. It's an option. It's something that Barbie never... investigated. That is untreaded ground.
That's true. Fair. I mean, I like that concept, or like rather that feature of it. I really like that. But
okay,
let's now again, the key part, as Mike mentioned, maybe I'll turn to Mike on this. You started by saying, or rather making us believe, that you knew what children liked, and that not the case, but you were right on the uniqueness. So Mike, bring it home.
Well, have you ever, you know, when you used to go to like a carnival and you'd get those invisible dogs?
Yes.
Yeah. The leash. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we just get her a bunch of invisible accessories.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. So you're trying to save money.
Well, yeah, but we still want money back for them, but they're invisible, you know? So we could have, she'll have like a leash and be like, meet my invisible dog. She'll have like some car keys and she'll be like, gonna go get in my invisible car, drive to work. So we only have to make the keys, not the car, and we sell it for the same price because it's still a car.
It's okay. Fascinating. It is either the perfect plan that just trusts children's imaginations, or it is like really gonna miss the mark because you just gave kids like keys. First of all, kids, I don't like, there's, it seems like a really small object. Keys to a fake car that you're putting in Tammy's hands.
It's also a big ruse. Like, you just made scammy Tammy.
Yeah. You made scammy Tammy, Mike.
No, we empowered children's imaginations.
You know, scammy Tammy is... she's, every picture of Tammy has her looking off to the side. I think she could be repositioned as scammy Tammy. As
No. Scammy Tammy.
Scammy Tammy, do you think Scammy, what if we made Scammy Tammy the cool girl and she lorded over Barbie and was just mean to her?
Scammy Tammy from Miami.
She doesn't seem like a, look, she's got like a, she's wearing a blue sweater with a white collar turtleneck.
Miami, Ohio.
Okay. Miami of Ohio. Scammy Tammy of Miami of Ohio. Come and get it, children. So no car, no houses, nothing. What about friends?
No, she has them. You just can't see them.
Look, no, she doesn't have them, Mike. That's the same way that you and I have Lamborghinis that we've always owned.
I love my Lambo.
God damn it. Listen, what if we? What about a friend? You said Barbie had Ken.
Yeah, she could have an invisible friend.
No, sure. No. Give me an actual friend. Something like an actual tangible thing children can hold and play with.
Hammy.
Hammy?
The pig.
God.
He's a pig.
Oh, actually, I love it. You just saved the whole thing. And now you've taken Josh's thing and you've twisted into the perfect situation. Tammy and Hammy.
Tammy and Hammy. Yeah.
This could also be a TV show. We saw how well Peppa Pig did. I saw that directly from Elliot. I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tammy and Hammy really could work.
Are all of the side characters rhyming names? Like, does she have a Grammy that is pretty prominent.
Yeah, I like all this. And I think we can save Tammy's face by giving everyone in the universe a huge forehead.
Okay.
Yeah, save Tammy's face, exactly.
And I like that because then it'll be more like, you know, you don't got to be perfect like Barbie. This whole world has big foreheads. And there's ain't nothing wrong with Tammy and Hammy and Grammy.
Okay.
How much are you guys charging for this?
$80.
Yeah, that's about right.
Oh, wait, Tammy has a... There's a box that says Tammy's family.
Oh.
Oh.
She has a brother named Ted.
Missed opportunity.
It's not like Sammy?
It should have been Sammy, yeah.
It's Ted. But her father is named Dad.
Okay. What about her jammies?
Tammy's jammies.
Dude, you're good at this.
There's so many accessories for Tammy. There's a hibachi set, guys.
What?
There's a tape
a
recorder.
Tammy hibachi?
A manual one. There's a broom and mop pack.
My mom lied to me. She was like, Tammy sucks, and Tammy sounds cool.
The detergent in Tammy's world is called Wux.
Wux?
W-U-X.
I know exactly what happened here, Mike. It was that your grandparents, your mom's parents, said, oh, no, she doesn't have any accessories. It's just the doll, so that they wouldn't have to buy her anything.
My parents, totally something my parents would have done, too. Genius.
My poor seven-year-old mom.
No, it's fine. It's fine. She grew up accessorizing you as her little Tammy.
I was her little Tammy.
So you guys know how I delay everything?
You?
Just sort of your built-in delay that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's not trying to put anything off. It's just if someone gives me a deadline for something, that means that they need it at that time. And so being all about like the present, it means I don't need to work on it until what I have mentally figured is the amount of time it takes me to work on that thing before the time it's due on the deadline. Weirdly, just how I'm built and oddly has worked out my whole life, but I am like that.
You're late to like everything, though.
I'm late to stuff, but that's different. That's like not work. That's just showing
that's
up.
That's what I thought you meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Showing up, I'm like a little bit late to everything. It's true. But sometimes I'm really on time, but that's a whole different story. Listen, I did something early, at least... Well, let me just tell you what happened. So our friends are getting married on September 7th, right? We talk about them a lot on the show, Andrew and Alina.
Yeah.
What up?
Shout out to you. I hope it was okay that I revealed your wedding date. But anyway, I am in the wedding party, and I have like a job to do at the ceremony. Mm. And so I figure this is one of those weddings that I shouldn't wait until like dry cleaning my suit like a day and a half before and begging the dry cleaner to have it done on rush. Even though I had so much time. So in this case, they're very organized about this. And in like the bridal and groom's party. What do you call that? Groomal is what
groomal.
It should be called.
Yeah, groomal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd call it groomal. That sounds like one of those toy companies, Josh. Anyway.
Galoob.
Yeah, Galoob and Groomal. That's the name of a new play featuring Tony Shalhoub and some other guy named Umal. Anyway, listen. So... they have it set up with this company called The Black Tux. You know, that's always like advertising on other podcasts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah, so the idea is typically that you send in your measurements and then they send you whatever has been selected as like the suit type. And most of the job is done. You just have to say how tall you are and your sleeves and all that shit. But in Chicago, they have two physical stores that you can go into. And I thought, you know, I'm so early and I have an open day. I'm going to go to the physical store. And so I went to the Black Tux physical store yesterday. Took the train and everything. I get in. It's like hip. I want to say no one over 23 is working, but like they have the situation under control. And they're
what
very
do they
cool.
need suits for? Nice. Yeah, those kids.
Yeah, they're just like chilling and they're playing like there's records everywhere. And there was one like mini golf course that was like a wood carved skyline of Chicago that the river was the tunnel you could putt through. This is while you waited.
What? This is amazing.
They treat you really nicely and they give you like a little box of water that looks like a box of milk from the old days of boxes of milk.
Yeah.
And so like I was having a good time and I'm talking to this like kid who's like helping me out and I'm feeling like really good. And I mentioned, you know, like, you know, am I here on time? Am I early enough? I know that it's been like I have like 5 or 6 weeks, but I don't know how like internet delivery works and what if I need something changed, you know, like, is this okay? Am I on time? And he assures me like, yes, everything is fine. We actually don't even mail you the suit until 2 weeks before the event. I guess they're like me in terms of like being a business, but so I'm feeling good and I'm happy and I've got my boxed water in hand and like I'm taking my putts. And then, like, there's other people here, obviously, to get outfitted. And one of the, like, groups right next to me is this couple. And the woman who was right next to me, like, right after I ask this question to this guy and he assures me everything is fine, she turns to her husband and, like, out loud says, like, "This is why I would never trust your groomsman with anything." And I was just like, what? And, like, I, like, look her way. And she's like, "If I left it up to them, it would be just like this. They'd show up, like, a few weeks in advance. It doesn't matter that the wedding was going to be in September. And, like, I told them to go in January." And, like, I'm just like, Jesus, man. And I'm like, I'm just getting destroyed by this lady next to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, also, then it, like, kind of continued. I couldn't tell. I don't think she was mad at me specifically. But, like, later on when I, like, needed to get a size change or, like, a thing done, like, little things I would ask, she would be upset on the behalf of, like, what other potential groomsmen would do if they acted like me, because I was the exact opposite of what a model groomsman should be. And I just, like, God, shit. Yeah, I just felt, like, dressed down, you know? I really did. I really felt dressed down in that moment at the Black Tux.
Wow.
But my instead of, don't worry, I'm slowly recovering from these lashes. God,
this is a harsh critique. Yeah.
She just, that, what, like, what did I
this
do?
This is sticking with you.
And she was so mad. And, like, I felt, but, like, in that moment, I don't know if you guys have these moments, and I know it's rude to have these moments and not, like, feel this way about people until you get to know them, but I was just so fucking glad that's not my partner in that moment. I was just like, God, what a dick. Like, that dude has to put up with this. Like, and he was not happy. Like, he would go and, like, change. I, actually, you know what? Now I'm gossiping. Not going to gossip. Okay. But anyway, what I was going to ask you guys, like, I know it's been other moments are happy moments are welcome, but, like, have you ever been in a situation where instead of what I was doing, where I felt good and everything was going well, and then, like, you just heard someone just, like, talk shit about you? Like, I know you both don't speak other languages, but I've heard it in other languages. Like, this has happened to me multiple times. So I was curious if it's happened to you ever.
I know this, like, triggered something in me, so I know it has.
Oh, I like that. Let's,
like,
dig deeper.
Like, it makes me feel a way, a certain way.
What location does it remind you of?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm a groomsman in a wedding a week before you, and I haven't gone yet, and now I feel very bad.
Oh, no. Oh, shit, I'm sorry. No, don't.
Apparently,
don't worry.
I should have gone.
No, you have time. You have time.
Unless I feel like I have time.
Are you the groomsman in this woman's wedding?
I don't think so.
Yeah, then you have plenty of time. Otherwise, she's going to light you with a flamethrower in a few minutes.
I'm a groomsman in a chill wedding.
Nice.
I know that I've felt dressed down before. Ooh, I have it. I know it.
Wow, that worked.
Yeah. I was reading a story once, like on a mic at a reading thing.
Like a public story? Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading a short story I had written, and it was about this couple who's having, you know, marital problems.
Okay.
And the way that they sort of talk about them is through all the different things they own. So they, like, they talk about their various purchases from Sur La Table and Williams Sonoma and all these fancy things they have, but they don't actually talk to each other, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm reading the story, and I get to this particularly harsh line. It was something about how this guy cares. His bamboo cutting board gets him, like, more excited than his own wife. And, someone in the crowd goes, "Jesus Christ," during the middle of my reading.
Oh,
yeah, nobody said it. They just go, "Jesus Christ."
Like, he didn't like it?
Yeah, like, oh, too much.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, okay, we'll just keep going.
Holy shit. That was a public.
I'm sorry,
that was
Mike.
Some immediate public feedback. Hey,
Mike, you know what?
It was instructive.
Here's a public one that'll make you feel better, too. You remember how I was new to America in eighth grade?
Yes, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. And I had a little bit of French education in my youth in Canada?
Yes, president of French Club.
No, that happened
future,
in America.
Future president.
Yeah. Immigrant president. It can happen one day. But came to America, went to my eighth grade French class where, like, I knew a little bit of French, so I felt like I was fine. And similarly, as in Canada, in some classes, they ask you to pick a French name for class just, like, for fun. And I'm pretty sure I picked the same one I had in Canada, and I'm like, I'll go with Jean-Claude. And I remember this girl in class out loud saying, "He's not a Jean-Claude." And I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
No.
I have not forgotten that. So, like, anytime that name comes up, I'm like, I'm not a Jean-Claude, I guess. Like, fucking A.
Dude, you're a Jean-Claude.
Yeah. Yeah, these there's people out there who will just trash you. Josh, anything for you?
Yeah, so I do. And mine also involves the anonymity of the internet. Because okay. When I was at Harmonix, I used to host on Twitch like 3 times a week. And so I'm there and I got to be like upbeat and, you know, positive and have energy. And there are people in the chat that can just say whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And so, yeah, there have been a lot of things that came through. And like, I don't know, it definitely, definitely bothers you the first couple times you see it. But after a certain point, it really does just kind of roll off your back. But especially when it comes to like playing the game, people are really, really shitty if you're not like the best player at the game. So I mean, this is, you know, in the Rock Band days and everything, and I was pretty good at guitar.
Aren't you like really good at those games? You play on like expert and stuff.
I'm in terms of like the hardcore community, though, I'm still a far cry from how good they are. But I can play on expert on guitar, but I can't on drums. And so I ended up like just fucking leaning into it, and I made this whole like persona called Hard Drums Josh. Because I couldn't play on expert. And there was this real... I mean, this whole thing is really dumb, and we probably don't need to get into the whole thing. But, like, we made this whole dumb side story where I ended up quitting Harmonix to stream full-time as Hard Drums Josh. And I called my
like
followers...
A fun job.
I called my followers my little drummer boys and girls. And
wow. When did you do this? What years?
It was, like, a two-month thing that happened. It was, like, 2016, 2017 or so.
Podcast years or not?
It might have been right before podcast, actually.
Okay. Because otherwise, yeah. I'm very curious how we haven't explored. I've never heard you called Hard Drums Josh.
Me neither. I love that.
This is actually all coming back now. So we were still...
repressing this? How bad was this?
No. It wasn't terrible. I'm just like remembering all the details. So we also, because I mean, we only had one streaming studio. So we just did this whole side bit about how my friend Troy and I rebuilt the Harmonix studio like inch for inch as a perfect replica in Troy's basement so I could continue to stream from there. So that
why did you feel the need to explain every creative choice?
It
clearly
needs internal consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, can you imagine the guy from your reading just like listening to this explanation?
Jesus fucking Christ. But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes leaning into it is the best way, because then it ended up being this real dumb thing that we had a lot of fun doing, all because people were like, hey, this guy sucks at playing drums.
That actually does sound fun. Way to lean into it. I like that.
Yeah.
Also, just to be clear, you're called Hard Drums Josh because that's the difficulty below expert, not because
yes.
of like some weird innuendo, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. No.
Hard drums.
Yeah. Erections did not come into play.
No. It's Hard Drums Josh. It's something you have multiple of that just happens to be hard also.
Okay.
Elbows?
Yeah.
Hard elbows, Josh.
You can play drums with those.
Sorry, I'm just trying to visualize it, and I can't. How are you gonna? I feel like you need the stick to reach, right? Oh, you said lean in. Now I get it. I get it now. I get the whole thing. I can't believe you guys keep trying to rap at the same time.
We're both exactly as nervous as each other.
Yeah, but remember when I tried to organize you into splitting verses?
Yeah.
What'd you think I was trying to do there? How about this? Josh, 10-second freestyle for the outro.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
The two lottery rhymes I didn't use are cautery and watery.
Oh, watery, you could have done something with.
Yeah, I could have.
That's pretty clever. I like if this back and forth would have been the rap over the beat. Why don't you guys discuss ideas about the lottery and that'll be
this
the song.
This is like Songland Jr., yeah. Shitty Songland.
We hope you guys buy a lot of tickets. Otherwise, our production office is going to have crickets. Is there going to be an infestation if you don't buy enough? Probably.
Fascinating. You're really toying probably. With yeah, what's known with common form. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Crickets. That's a good name for fucking the best movie of all time.